Welcome to the Great Awakening Empowerment Tools Podcast. This is Dr. Brent Davis reading Chapter 13 from my 2014 book, The Floral Hand of God, Secret Healing Codes of Flowers Revealed. The chapter title is The Incorruptibles. Introductory Remarks. In a way, this podcast is a continuation from Chapter 12 that I read last week. In the commentary, after the chapter reading, I will be discussing some of the very special Floralife flower essences that can help us on a path toward greater integrity, and that fundamentally is linked to the manifestation of light-filled dreams. There are, unfortunately, many beings on the planet now that are talented at manifesting their will, which is very destructive to others. So we shall, of course, depart from that outcome fundamentally. Reading now from Chapter 13, titled The Incorruptibles. The healing power of certain extraordinary flowers, vibrantly alive and rooted to the earth, is totally benevolent. They are steadfast. They follow their innate design that impels them to give fully of themselves, with no expectation of anything in return. They are utterly incorruptible. Such flowers are complex receptacles of divine light coded into physical form in an incomprehensible way. I've often described amazing flowers I have found as, quote, saints among herbs, end quote. As I was contemplating the content for this chapter, I encountered an interesting call for papers to be presented at an international conference hosted at the Sorbonne University in Paris, September 7th through 9th, 2011, titled, Forms of Corruption in History and in Contemporary Society, Origins, Continuity, Evolution. The following is an excerpt. Quote, the etymology of the word corruption, Latin corruptum, indicates either an alteration or an act of seduction, but in any case, it leads toward a rupture. In a broader meaning, corruption is understood as the behavior of a person who derails another from his, her way, customs or duties through the promise of money, reward, honors or security. History shows that this phenomenon has generally been manifesting in different kinds of cultures and societies, starting with the most ancient times. Today, corruption is still a reality, generated by the particular economic, cultural, and political conditions in both developing and developed countries. We are seeking contributions on different forms of corruption and on special aspects of corruption in different cultures, historical times, and juridical systems. Major questions which will be discussed during this international conference are, do phenomena of corruption evolve over time or remain as primitive as in their first manifestations? What is the impact of these phenomena on forging the identity of certain individuals, communities, or nations? Is the ideal that corruption disappear one day utopian? End of quote. From the Wikipedia entry on corruption, we see, quote, in philosophical or moral discussions, corruption is spiritual or moral impurity or deviation from an ideal. End of quote. The word corrupt, Middle English from Latin corruptus, past participle of corrumpere, to abuse or destroy, cum, intensive, and rupere, to break, when used as an adjective, literally means utterly broken. End of quote. What really stood out from these two entries was the question, is the ideal that corruption disappear one day utopian, and the concept of corruption signifying utterly broken? In the last chapter, Frances stood midway between two opposite poles. On her right hand, 20 feet away, she observed the ineffable at work, divine and pure power from uncut flower frequencies, causing transformation of the mind and elevation of the human spirit. On her left hand, 30 or so feet away, she observed an utterly broken state of trust, as darkness was woven into the fabric of unsuspecting people who believed they were receiving healing and who paid dearly for that deception. Over a period of years, I've observed that energy from the right flowers can help humans to become less corrupt. It only takes a few minutes of witnessing events similar to those described in the previous chapter to realize how much the protective and powerful forces found in special flowers are needed. I used to wonder often why only few and very select flowers have a profound ability to transform us. Then all of a sudden one day I was struck with the notion that flowers, just like humans, must be in different states of evolution. That is when I coined the term saints among herbs. The concept of saintly people exists in all cultures. These are individuals who act as intercessors, model exemplary character traits, especially selflessness, possess benevolent powers with which they work wonders, have a revelatory relationship to that which is holy. Highly evolved flowers seem to possess the same attributes as the list above. So how does a flower become evolved? There is no single answer to that question, but I believe that one of the most important answers is by co-creation with humans. I can explain what that means by some example. Before I was led to move to rural Tennessee, I worked with medicinal plants for several years in Los Angeles. There I had a manufacturing facility to produce fresh plant extracts of the highest quality herbs that I could obtain from organic farms and herb gatherers around the country. After a while, the calling for me to obtain attractive land that I could tend personally and from which I could harvest wild herbs and build an energy within nature became an impelling force. The 160-acre forest with an open field of about 7 acres in the middle, where I built my house in rural Tennessee, was a godsend. There I found the tremendous stillness that I had long sought. The land, the trees, and the diverse flowering plants had much to communicate, I imagined, and I was eager to hear their voices. In the first 2 or 3 years that I owned the land, I ended up traversing just about every square meter of it. I noted in my mind and catalogued where wild herbs grew and made an effort to keep track of their population density. I was elated each time I found a new herb growing that I had not noticed before. I resolved that my land would be a sanctuary where herbs would flourish, and that if I needed a quantity of one of the wild herbs, I would not deplete it in the wild, but would transplant wild stock to a specially constructed shade cover structure I envisioned. After a couple of years, I was able to build that structure with 63% shade cloth to mimic forest sun exposure. I discovered hills of tremendously rich soil derived from rotted hardwood tree bark in an abandoned sawmill that had not been active for over 30 years. I brought in about 200 tons of that soil to spread in the 12 long rows of my new forest under shade cover. Herbs that I knew and particularly valued were planted there, as well as several herbs that were new to me. From 1993 to 1999, I spent a lot of time conversing with the herbs, and we became well acquainted. I felt they knew my hopes, celebrated with me my victories, and understood my frustrations and failures. Most of all, I think they knew how sad I was at the way humans were treating our great Mother Earth, and how I aspired somehow to contribute constructive energy in the midst of so much man-made suffering and hardship. I believe the plants were aware that I ardently wanted to create a new possibility for an improvement in the condition of the human mind and spirit, and I believe that led to our ability to co-create. As I sat in the woods in stillness, sometimes it felt as though there were consciousnesses there reading my mind. It is as if the plants saw the most common deficiencies and afflictions that had affected me and a majority of my patients for the years I was in practice in Los Angeles, and afterwards when I arrived in Tennessee. It is an unusual notion and one that can never be proven, but I believe that herbs can communicate what they witness about their human companions to something like a governing board of the flower kingdom that is one of the many hierarchies in nature. This would simply be one of the components of the vast mind of God. I had the sense on numerous occasions that there were assemblies of herbal consciousness akin to an electoral body. It felt to me that certain species of flowers were chosen in angelic committee to undertake a mission for humanity and would finally be confirmed for that role at a point when they had evolved to take on the responsibility for developing transformational healing frequencies to transmute human afflictions. The larger the healing challenge, the greater the power and dedication required of the particular flower. It seems there is an evolutionary framework that produces saints among herbs, and that I have had the pleasure and opportunity to work with and collect the essence of several of these astonishing beings. On the one hand, they help alleviate human suffering, and on the other hand, They amplify the joy that is our birthright, creating greater opportunities for positive manifestation. What is splendid about my collaboration with plants is that my soul request for particular healing dispensation from flowers takes place from the eternal part of my being that resides above the level of my personality and its shortcomings. So when a particular flower is activated to fulfill the request, and I am able to locate the flower and extract its living transformational frequencies by the uncut flower process, healing of a high and pure order is already mandated. It does not carry my personal limitations. That is a very important point, because it relates to a core issue to which I've already alluded in other chapters. When healers are using their own physical magnetism, mental constructs, or quantum techniques to shift the energy of a patient or client, it will always carry their personal signature of energy. If they are highly evolved beings or are particularly pure or kindly in their motivation, generally all is well. Humans certainly can bestow blessings and great healing, and we do well to remember Christ's words, quote, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do." John 14:12. However, if healers are operating at a lower level of devotion, comprehension, or sight, then the practitioner can unwittingly create problems at a deep level of spirit in the recipient of therapy. An example where this could take place follows. Let us imagine an aspiring energy healing student encountering one of several of a new breed of energy healers, teachers, that have come into prominence since the turn of the millennium. These teachers are typically born with an enormous power of magnetic influence and physical powers of manifestation, powers described in India for eons called siddhis. They are able to perform physical miracles such as rapidly healing fractures, straightening deformed bones, instantly closing wounds, and in some instances, purportedly passing their hands through solid matter. This obviously sets them apart from others, and it is easy to see how they could develop a following of students who ascribe to them advanced spiritual characteristics and who study their techniques to emulate them. There is a consensus among a few of the pure and deeply sighted practitioners I know that some of these teachers are abusing their powers for the purpose of control, for developing a following, and for fame and fortune. Physical miracles do not necessarily correlate with what is highest and best for one's spiritual core. Physical healing can be forced, and that is always to be avoided. When I see the miracle of a profound subconscious mind shift and spiritual enlivening occur in a patient after coming into contact with special uncut flower frequencies, I am overjoyed. That is because I know those results derive from transformation that has occurred deep in the spiritual realm, and flowers never force that. Whatever occurs in that manner is as pure as the mind of God. Year after year, I have greeted particular herbs at the time they begin flowering. In certain instances, unexpectedly, the herb would all at once communicate that it was ready to do its healing. Before it had achieved that maturity, it was just a beautiful flower. Once necessary evolution and preparation had taken place, the flower contained powerful transformational forces. Confirmation of this type of process was communicated to me clearly on a trip I took in 2009 to the San Juan Mountains in Colorado, not far from where I had the wonderful experience at Chama Mountain in northern New Mexico many years before. My steering committee told me that I was to go to this area to find herbs that would enliven the human heart and renew life in those whose hearts had been crushed and closed. I was accompanied on this trip by Serena, who had been a partner to me 2 years before, but was now solely a trusted platonic friend with a love of flower healing. She is half Native American Indian and half Mexican. Understanding of the destruction of the native heart ran deep in her blood. She is a skilled doctor and a natural healer, and was the ideal companion for this trip in honor of reawakening the heart. At one point, we stood together on the rim of a bowl-shaped meadow at 11,000 feet, opposite a huge red rock face across a wide valley. I could feel the rock face reflecting powerful energy from the heavens into the meadows below us. In front of us was an amazing spectacle due to the density and diversity of flowering plants ablaze with color. Before walking into the incredible variety of chest-high herbs, I scanned the meadow for several minutes. One area lit up, and I imagined that was where a special flower was located. When we got closer, I saw an old friend awaiting me, but one whose flowers I had never seen before. The herb was green hellebore, and its inflorescence was spectacular. Over the years, I had seen and admired this plant in many areas of the U.S., but never once had I encountered it in the flowering stage. It let me know that it was ready. As Serena and I prepared green hellebore flowers to collect their healing frequencies, it was as if there was a chorus of flowers singing so sweetly to accompany our work. There was a communication of gratitude from dozens of different flower species around us, all praising this moment when the first of their sisters was able to undertake her healing mission. There was a clear communication to me that in a few years' time, several more flower species in this special place would be ready for their healing work, and that I should return then. End of chapter 13. Commentary. I've already commented several times in this podcast series about the great challenge of this era that has shown us honesty among humans has declined to a very low level. There is a growing emergence of highly intelligent minds that seem to be rather devoid of a moral compass. Clever minds devoid of scruples often discover ways of making lots of money, and for average well-meaning people struggle to make ends meet, it could certainly be a challenge to walk away from that temptation of easy money made by questionable or clearly unethical means. I feel most people would surely benefit from the frequencies of certain special flowers that protect us from the dark side of ourselves or others. A great floralife fluorescence combination for people to help them move toward greater integrity is a mixture of blue-eyed grass, flor de la luna, flower of the moon, and flor del oso, flower of the bear. Blue-eyed grass is prepared from flowers that grow on my farm in central Tennessee, and the other two flowers come from high mountain valleys in central Peru. Two other flowers that have a great benefit for this same theme are herb of the cross and golden seal flower. Herb of the cross helps us to abandon the need to control others. Golden seal flower helps us to rid from where it might be buried deep in the subconscious the belief, quote, I am an innocent victim, end quote. That unconscious belief could surely make people do things that would help them feel justification for doing it. When we get into section 3 of this book, and that may be the next part that I read before section 2, which is just technical. When we get to section 3, there's a great deal of information about different flowers, and especially about the underpinnings of how to apply these flowers. The Floralife flower essences can be ordered by calling area code 931-329-3131, Monday through Friday, from 8 o'clock until 4:30 p.m. Central Time.